1 Kings 3, verse 5 through 15. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered for multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did, then will I lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast unto all his servants. Every child of God has a story. And this is Solomon's story, how he asked God for wisdom. And God was pleased that he asked that and said, "I'm going to give you what you've asked for, but I'm going to also give you everything you didn't ask for, because I'm pleased at this request for wisdom." I'd like to speak to you today on the subject of wisdom. The first thing I'd like to say is that wisdom exists. In Proverbs 2 and verse 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Now, that may seem strange to you for me to say that wisdom exists. But the fact is, atheism has a dirty little secret. And that is that if there is no God, there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no wisdom. The existentialist says, if an elderly lady's crossing the street, should I help her or should I run over her? Well, the truth of the matter is, if there is no God, it doesn't matter. There is no right. There is no wrong. You never hear atheists say that. I remember hearing two atheists, or an atheist and a theist, debating, and the atheist was asked, "What do you find objectionable in Christianity?" And this atheist said, "Well, I think the idea of a substitutionary atonement is immoral." And I thought to myself, did I hear an atheist just use the word immoral? Yeah. If you're an atheist, there is no moral. There is no morality. There is nothing that has any meaning. But we believe that wisdom exists. There is right. There is wrong. There is wisdom and there is folly. There is that which brings joy and that which brings misery. Wisdom exists. Now, what is the nature of wisdom? Well, first of all, it is not the same as education. Now, Christians are not opposed to education. In fact, every country where Christianity and the gospel has influence, they have a high level of education. We teach men to read so that they can read God's word and so that they can understand. But wisdom and education are not the same. We understand that when we look around the world. In World War II, Germany was the most educated country on earth. And what did they do? They killed the Jews and plunged the world into chaos and murder. In Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." In other words, wisdom is spiritual. You can have great education, you can have a great mind, and you can be a fool. And many are. But we ask this question, do wise men go to hell? No, a man that dies without Jesus Christ, regardless of how great his mind is or how educated he is, he has no wisdom. Now, this brings us to the question, where is wisdom to be found? I love the 28th chapter of Job. It's a fascinating chapter. I wish I had time to read it all. But in Job 28, verse 1 through 11, which we'll not read, you have a description of mining operations. And we think of the mines that men have cut into the earth, miles of tunnels, and how they've been held up. And some of the mines are so deep that it's hot because they're near the mantle of the earth. And so he describes in verses 1 through 12, or 1 through 11, this mining operation. And then in verse 12, he asks the question. He says, "But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding?" And so he asks this question. We can dig mines. We can have trains running underground. We can turn the course of underground rivers. But where is wisdom to be found? In verse 15, he says, "It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof." You can go to Yale and run up a $100,000 bill, but that doesn't mean that there's any wisdom there. "It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding?" And then in verse 28, he tells us, he says, "But unto man, he saith, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." So wisdom doesn't have to do with intellect or education. It has to do with spirituality and with a right relationship to the Creator. Now, I want you to notice concerning wisdom that it is evangelistic. In Proverbs 8, verse 1 through 5. I'm having trouble this week turning my Bible. The Bible I normally preach out of, I left it somewhere. So I'm having to turn through this large Bible. But Proverbs 8, verse 1 through 5, the scripture describes the evangelistic nature of wisdom. It says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, as the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I shall speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things." Have you ever noticed in Hollywood these stars will go over to the Himalayas and some Buddhist priest with a saffron robe will be there, and they think, oh, that's profound. I remember when the Beatles were big, they had some fella called the Maharishi or Maharashi. I don't remember how they pronounce his name, but he was just a goofus, really. But they were impressed by that. The idea that wisdom is hidden away somewhere in a cave, that it's the property of some mysterious individual. But the truth is, wisdom is downtown on the center square. Wisdom is at the gate of the city crying out. And you think of the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So wisdom is not in some mysterious location. The problem with receiving wisdom is not finding it, it's wanting it. And so wisdom is evangelistic. Then we think of the value of wisdom. First of all, wisdom is a protection. We were talking last night, the pastor and I asked this question, how long does it take to destroy your life? Just a minute. You can do things quickly that torment you through life. I've had people come to me about things they've done and suffered because of it, and they'll say, when is it over? And I have to say, it's never over. Not in this world. But in Proverbs 2, verse 10 and 11, the scripture says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. And so wisdom is a protection. It protects us from that which can bring unhappiness and misery and sorrow and that which can destroy not only our lives, but the lives of those that are around us. So wisdom has great value. In Proverbs 3, verse 13 through 18, listen to what he says about the value of wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Notice what it said, happy is the man. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. A ruby is one of the most precious of stones, but the Bible says wisdom is more precious than rubies. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. You say, Brother Ron, the length of days is in her right hand. How long will wisdom allow you to live? Eternally.
Amen.
It says, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is the tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. And so the Bible speaks of the value of wisdom. Now, and looking at the value of wisdom, I want to consider one more thing. You remember Solomon? We read about him, how he asked God for wisdom. And he didn't ask for the lives of his enemy. He didn't ask for a long life for himself. He asked for wisdom. And God said, I'm going to give you what you asked for. I'm going to give you wisdom. But with it, I'm going to give you everything you didn't ask for. Now think about that. What do you get when you find wisdom? Everything. Everything. What is the price of wisdom? We know what the price of college is. Children come out of college with these huge bills. It's just a shame. I think many times they're poorly advised in that matter. But what is the price for wisdom? Well, let me read several verses to you that deal with this. In James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. The first cost of wisdom that we might mention is simply to ask for it. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But there's a little more to it. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, all you have to do to receive wisdom is to ask for it. But there is this catch. You have to really want wisdom. A lot of people want wisdom. They'd like to test it. They'd like to see if it agrees with them. But wisdom is only received by those who really want the wisdom of God, who want to put it into practice in their life. They want it as it is. Let me illustrate something here. Do you know what the word heretic means? It means someone who chooses. Somebody says, Brother Ron, you chose to be a Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptist. No, I didn't. I didn't choose that at all. I could have chosen a lot of other things. It'd been a lot easier. You say, well, why, if you didn't choose that, why did you end up believing those things? Because they were right. And because I wanted to believe what was right. And fear the Lord. And so, a heretic is somebody that looks around, picks what seems to work out best for them. And you see many preachers that are highly successful because they have chosen what they want to believe. But the real Christian doesn't choose. They're compelled by the force of truth. And then when we think about the price of wisdom, it is great desire. In other words, the person who receives wisdom really wants it. Listen to Proverbs 2, verse 1 through 6. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Now notice, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Notice verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Have you ever considered back in the various gold rushes that went on in this country? I think of the gold rush in Alaska. People sold everything they had, went to Alaska, had no real knowledge of how to make a dog sled or feed dogs or how to get through snow and ice, how to survive in those bitter cold winters. But they sold all that they had and went into this difficult area to find gold. Many of them died. Many of them lost everything that they had, but their desire for gold was so great that they were willing to do it. Well, the scripture says there's something more valuable than gold. And it says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, if you want wisdom with the same degree of desire that people that go off on gold rushes, then you're going to receive wisdom. In Proverbs 4, verse 5 through 8, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy understanding, with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. And so when wisdom becomes the main thing in our life, we're going to be able to receive it. In chapter 4 and verse 1, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. In our church, years ago, I was teaching on Wednesday night through the book of Proverbs. And I did something every week. We'd do about a half a chapter of service. And this thought was found so often that about every week I mentioned it, I'd say, young people, how do you recognize a wise man? He listens. How do you recognize a fool? He doesn't listen. And every week, because it was in the scriptures that often, every week as we'd go a little further, I'd come to a verse and I'd say, young people, how do you recognize a fool? How do you recognize a wise man? They listen. And then another of the prices of wisdom is humility. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And so if you want wisdom, you must listen. Now that brings us to a very important question. What is the identity of wisdom? Wisdom has an identity. Wisdom is a person. Wisdom is Jesus Christ. Now, there are several reasons that we say that. We think of Solomon as the wise man. You say, well, Solomon wasn't always wise. That's the truth. And what does that show us? That men are not very wise. Because the wisest man that ever lived wasn't too smart. And he did some foolish things. But David had a son, a lesser son, and a greater son. And the greater son was not Solomon, but our Lord Jesus Christ. And he not only has wisdom, he is wisdom. Amen. Let me mention several things connected with this. First of all, Jesus Christ is the one through whom the truth of God comes to us. All truth has its origin in Jesus Christ. The Bible calls him the Word. You want to hear God? We hear God through Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. If there's any light, it's coming from Christ. Amen. He is the truth. He is not truth. He is the truth. Amen. Let's notice how the scripture makes it plain that Jesus Christ is wisdom. First of all, when it describes wisdom and personifies wisdom, it's obvious that it's talking about Christ. Proverbs 1, verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. It's interesting that you have the personification of wisdom, and it speaks of it in the feminine gender. But it's obvious that it's talking about Christ. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. That reminds you of the words of Christ in the Gospel of John. In Proverbs 3, verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. Now, if you know the scripture very well, you know it was through Jesus Christ that God created the earth. Then in Proverbs 8, verse 22, the scripture says, wisdom said this, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting. The word set up in the Hebrew is anointed. Who is the anointed one? Christ. And so he says, I was set up from everlasting, or ever the earth was, When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the earth, of the world, referring to man. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, then he appointed the foundation, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. You say, is there a son just as old as his father? Yes, Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's describing that relationship that they had before the creation. We have an example in the Gospels. In one place, it says, wisdom said. Then in another place, it's precisely the same words, only it says, Jesus said. Wisdom and Jesus are the same. The scripture says, unto them that are called Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God.
Amen.
It says that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so Christ is the wisdom of God. And then one more thing we might say about wisdom. It has a house.
Amen.
Proverbs 9, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beast. That would be the food they were getting ready to eat. She hath mingled her wine. She hath furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Who is simple? Let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live. And so wisdom has built a house. Wisdom has spread a feast. And we are invited. That's what we're doing here today.
Amen.
We're in wisdom's house, feasting on wisdom. Now, I'm not going to try to take the time to explain why the feminine gender is used there. And when it's talking about Jesus Christ, I will remind you, for instance, the red heifer. A heifer is a female, but it was used as a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. But wisdom has built a house. Well, let me conclude by, I mentioned at the beginning of this message that Solomon was giving his story. I want to tell you a little bit of my story. I don't know if I've ever done this before, but I trust God will speak to the young people. When I was a teenager, I came under conviction, very deep conviction that I was lost, and I attended a large church, a church where the Bible really wasn't taken very seriously. And I knew I was lost and I wanted to be saved and I was fearful of hell. But I couldn't seem to get any good answers. I remember they said if you'd come forward, you'd be saved. And so I came forward. Somebody said, kneel here at the altar. I knelt. And they said, now repeat this prayer. Well, I was up there to do whatever they told me to do. You know, I figured they were going to take care of it. Well, I thought, that didn't work. And it was only very slowly that I came to an assurance and an understanding. And I believe in the wisdom of God that he did that so that I would think about salvation and think about assurance and perhaps be able to help people. But at any rate, finally, I came to a place of assurance of salvation. And then the Lord began to work in my life further. Now let me say this. I lived in the inner city And I was always by nature kind of rowdy. I didn't rob banks. My mom wouldn't let me do that. But you know, just in the inner city, it's kind of rowdy and foolish. One day we'd run the streets and stay out all night. And one day I was coming home, and there was two men standing at our door. And they were from a Baptist church and began to talk to me. They said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes." And after they left, I thought, well, here they are out visiting, inviting people to church, and I'm goofing around. And I thought I need to be more serious about the things of God. And so I made a vow to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I'm going to read your book every day." And I can still remember the experience of reading the Bible. About every day I'd read something, I'd think, "What does that mean?" And I can still remember my thoughts as I came to various parts of the Bible. But there was two portions of Scripture that gripped me. The first one was in Proverbs chapter 3. The price of rubies is far, the price of wisdom is far above rubies. And that gripped me. They got a hold of me. The second was, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I don't know how long I was reading the Bible before I came on those things, but as I speak this message today, I'm telling you that those things took a hold of my heart. And I began to pray that God would give me wisdom. But I knew this. I knew that it wasn't as simple as just asking for wisdom, that a double-minded man wasn't going to receive anything for the Lord, that a person had to be able to actually yield their life to the Lord. God wasn't going to give you wisdom of his will if you had no intention of doing it. And so I began to pray that God would give me the grace to be able to say, "Lord, whatever your will is, I'll do it." Well, let me say this. You say, "Did the Lord answer your prayer?" Well, he called me to preach. He taught me Bible truth that I never heard before. And I believe that the Lord answered the prayer. That doesn't mean I'm smarter than other people. I'm simply saying that God gave me an interest in spiritual things. And I asked him to do that and to teach me. God will do the same for you. If you're a young person here today, you can waste your life or you can use it. You know, you can lose your soul. But that's not the only thing you can lose. You can lose your life. You can waste it. In Psalm 2, the Bible talks about what we need to do. Psalm 2, verse 10 through 12. I've ever thought if I ever get invited to the White House to preach, that's an unlikely thing. The church I grew up in, the assistant pastor was a very polished man, and he was invited to the White House to preach. But if they ever invite me to the White House to preach, here's going to be my text. Psalm 2, verse 10. "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest ye be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." If you're here today and you're unsaved, I ask you this question. Is it wise to go to hell? Is it wise to rise up against him that has all power in heaven and earth? Is it wise to go into a lost eternity and to throw your life in the trash can? And then those of us that are saved, I was thinking this morning of something else the Bible said about wisdom. It says, he that winneth souls is wise. What can you do with your life that's really worthwhile? How about praying that God would use you in the conversion of lost sinners? That's worth more than money. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, you're my joy and hope and crown of rejoicing. I rejoice more in people that God has seemed to convert under my ministry than any type of physical wealth. Well, there's the sermon, wisdom. I pray that God will put it in your heart to cry out to God for wisdom. Amen.